Good evening. This is the meeting of the Pacifica National Board Elections Committee for December 8th, 2014. I'm the chair, Bob Lederer, and our secretary, Michael Novick, will now call the roll, please.
Teresa Allen, KPFT. Carolyn Burden, WBAI. Somebody said she sent a message saying she can't make it. Fred Blair, KPFK. Jim Brown, WPFW.
Present.
Earlier. Maria Elena Castellanos, KPFT. Mark Hernandez, KPFA. Cynthia Johnson, KPFA. Jim Kaufman, KPFK.
Here.
Janet Coburn, KPFA.
Present.
Hank Lamb, KPFT.
Present.
Bob Lederer, Chair.
Here.
WBAI is here. Frank Lefever, WBAI. Michael Novick, the secretary, that's me. I'm present from KPFK. Lawrence Reyes was here but left the call, I think. Serene Roberts, WBAI.
Present.
Richard Ezell, KPFT.
Here.
Margie Wilkinson, KPFA.
I'm here.
Jane Zara, WPFW. That's eight, I think, remaining. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. That's actually nine remaining, but Lawrence left the call. So we're on the corner.
Did someone just join? Perhaps that was someone leaving. Okay, thanks, Michael. So unfortunately, it sounds like we're just short of quorum. So what we'll have to do then is set our next meeting date. And I would suggest that we combine that with or put that in the context of the request from the Governance Committee for some sort of joint meeting to discuss the question of the 2015 and 2016 election and the timing of those two events, or, you know, possibilities for combining them or whatever. So the floor is open for suggested dates, and let me just say at the outset, I think it would be a good idea. I think it's fine to meet with them, although we, under the bylaws, we can't have a meeting where both committees vote, so I would say it should be a meeting of the Elections Committee to which they are invited as non-voting guests, and that we give them two dates to so they can do a poll of their members to see which of the two would get a higher attendance. That would be my proposal.
Did they not suggest a date or anything?
No. For the stack, are we observing a stack?
Yes. Go ahead, Serene.
Okay, so I think I sent out an email last week with two dates. Don't have it in front of me. I'm not in front of the computer, but I proposed whatever dates I proposed then.
Right.
I have it.
Oh, you have it handy? Okay, go ahead.
Oh, well, that was a lie. It's not all that handy. Let's see.
I found it.
Thank you.
Sunday, December 14th, or Saturday, December 20th.
Hang on, Hank.
Before we get to dates, can we address my general approach of inviting them as non-voting members, number one, and number two, to offer them two dates? Is there any disagreement or another approach to that?
I'm sorry, what do you ask? If someone has an alternative approach?
Yeah, to what I just said.
Yeah, that sounds fine. Yeah.
Okay, so then we're agreed on that approach. So now let's get back to the date. So, Hank, you want to...
Janet Kay.
Okay,
yeah.
Hank and then Janet.
For myself, never on weekends. No. Fridays, no Saturdays, no Sundays.
Okay. Janet?
I'm wondering about December, Wednesday, December 17th.
Okay. Well, let me add something that Serene pointed out.
Yeah, that was
which is, I have the calendar open every single weekday from now until the 23rd is taken. So none of those days are options for us. And of course, once we get into the 24th, 25th, 26th, I don't think anyone would view those as likely to get a quorum.
I thought Janet just said that the 17th was open.
I lied. It was.
KPFK has a local station where they start 7:30 Pacific. But since we're going to do something, we can do it at 5 or something.
Got it. Okay.
All right. Did someone just join the call?
Yeah, it's me again, Lawrence.
You're a quorum, Lawrence.
Yeah,
oh, I am.
Yeah, you just made quorum.
Oh, okay.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. So, why don't we put this? Yeah, let's put this discussion on hold. We will definitely come back to this, but let's. All right. So I'm convening the meeting now, and I sent an agenda around 8:15. I will read it now. A draft proposed agenda. One is report on the motion the PNB passed, I think it was last week, regarding the election schedule. I have 10 minutes for that report, and that's not just for the report, but if there's any discussion on, next steps or whatever. Next would be a report from the interim executive director on the hire of the national election supervisor. I have that for 5 minutes. Then request from the governance committee for a joint meeting with the elections committee regarding the 2015 and 16 elections for 20 minutes. Then a report from the cost-cutting working group and next steps for 10 minutes. And then finally, picking up the motion that we did not resolve last meeting, which is the motion on non-English language election information. I have that for 15 minutes with the time certain adjournment at 10:30 Eastern. So are there any additions or suggestions, amendments?
Don't you have to take roll on the stream?
We did.
We did. You just
okay.
weren't there when we took it.
Okay.
I know that you had been on the
public. We are on the stream.
Yeah, we're on the stream.
Janet Kay?
Go ahead, Janet.
So I sent a motion, and it's related to the committee a little while ago, and it's related to the first item, and I'm wondering whether we can extend that time to 50, from 10 to 15 minutes and maybe reduce the number of the last one by 5 minutes.
Okay, that's Janet's suggestion to add item one about report back from the PNB from 10 to 15 minutes. Any discussion on that?
I'm sorry, report back from the PNB? What is that?
What I said earlier, the report back on what the PNB passed last week is in terms of the election schedule.
That's a three-minute item. It's the same thing that we've discussed endlessly on this committee.
Right, so Janet's proposing to extend it to 15 so we can discuss her new motion that she just posted a few minutes ago concerning a way to combine the 2013 and 15 elections.
Isn't that the purpose of the point of information?
Yeah.
Isn't that the purpose of the joint meeting with the governance committee?
Right, yeah, that's...
So why would we preemptively have the discussion now?
Well, I'd like to get it... Can I...
Sure, go ahead, Jen.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to get it started. It really does not involve a bylaws change, from what I can tell. So it would not... Well, in any case, if it does, then we would add in, we would continue the discussion with the governance committee.
I object.
Okay, other people?
Well, this is fine.
Go ahead.
Honestly, whatever we suggest to the PNB, may just go unheeded anyway. There's no particular real interest shown in absolutely getting an election done rather than going back and forth and discussing how it's affected by bylaws and possible changes that have to be made, et cetera. Because both Lydia and I, in the PNB meeting, tried to discuss motions that would just go ahead and carry forward elections. And mine was absolutely refused to even be added to the agenda, though it was submitted before hers. And hers, you know, I don't know what the deal is, but she had a bunch of dates in it that couldn't be adhered to, so.
Teresa here.
Corrine for the stack, please.
Hi, Teresa. Okay, does anyone else who hasn't spoken yet want to speak on this agenda amendment?
And then Janet Case, the staff.
Right. No one else? Okay, Serene and then Janet. Let me tell Teresa, we're discussing an amendment to the draft agenda that Janet made to add the first item, extended from 10 to 15 minutes to discuss the new motion Janet's offering about the scheduling of the 2013 and 15 elections. So, okay, Serene, go ahead.
Okay, so I generally think it's unwise to try to characterize other people's motion. And Lydia Brezon is not a member of this committee and is not on the call. The motion that she sent forth included dates, for opening nomination, closing nominations, etc. And if those dates are subject to the NES's, determination about what we need to do. The motion, which, and you know, I addressed this on email, but clearly it needs to be reasserted. The motion that Mr. Lamb sent through was a motion to essentially cancel one set of elections. We are behind, if you will, on the 2013, and we are potentially behind on the 2015. The 2013 obviously has not yet happened. And the statement that one was sent before the other needs to be corrected. There's a process by which the PNB collects motions from directors and committees. The meeting is announced by email. The deadline for submission of items is announced by email. Anyone who wishes to make a motion after that date has to present it when the meeting begins. Ms. Brezon asked for the stack at the last meeting and presented her motion. She did so before Mr. Lamb did, and that is why her motion regarding the election timeline was on the agenda and up for discussion by the body before Mr. Lamb's motion on not having an election. So I think accuracy is really important, and I...
Mr. Chair... this has had nothing to do with our meeting.
Point of order.
Yeah, Hank, you can't interrupt another member. Let her finish.
Okay. So go ahead. I just want to correct for the record the statement that was just made about, oh, my thing was sent first. And, you know, I mean, even it's not necessary and it's not true.
You're hacking the order.
Was that Michael in order? Yes.
Yeah. I don't think we appointed a timekeeper. And
okay.
I think we need one.
Good point. Would someone
Janet
volunteer?
Janet Kay, point of order.
Yes. Go ahead, Janet.
Well, I mean, you can do the timekeeper.
All right. Let's resolve the timekeeper. Who will volunteer to keep time? All right. In the absence of anyone, I'll try to do it, but I may need a little help sometime. Okay, so Janet was next on the stack.
Yeah, well, first of all, it's my understanding we're just talking about extending the first item from 10 to 15 minutes. We're still talking about the agenda. As far as Serene, I don't think you have seen the motion I sent to this committee today. It's a different motion, and it's to the committee, or it's a committee motion, and that's what I wanted to discuss in this agenda item. I also think that I also think that we should talk a little bit about the difference between the or specifically about the motion that was passed last Thursday at the PND meeting compared to what we've been talking about in this committee or what we have approved in the past, timeline-wise or whatever, because there is a little bit of a difference.
Excuse me.
So that, you know, that might only take 3 minutes, but in any case.
Chair, this is Margie.
Yes, Margie.
I'm sorry. I'm going to get off the... Let me ask. I'm hearing terrible, loud, crackly static.
Yeah, I hear it, too.
Oh, other people are... I was thinking maybe if I called back in...
No, it's not your line.
Someone is too close to another piece of electronic equipment with their cell phone, I think.
Right.
My cell phone is in the other room, so it's clearly that.
I didn't say you. I said someone.
Okay.
Okay. I'm just saying it's really noisy.
Yeah, it is. I know.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Can we try to wrap up this agenda? Is there anyone else who needs to speak before we vote on Janet's amendment? Okay. Then, Janet, can you just very, very basically just say the amendment, not the reason. Just what
right.
is the amendment?
The amendment is to change the time on the first item from 10 to 15 minutes and reduce the time on the fifth item from 15 to 10 minutes.
Okay. Michael, can you please call the roll on that?
Sure. On that amendment to the agenda, Teresa Allen.
Teresa says yes, but I guess I think we should ask before if there's any objection.
There was. There was an
okay.
objection.
Never mind then. I say okay.
Okay. Jim Brown? Take that as a pass. Kim Kaufman? Janet Coburn?
Yes.
Will you bid her? That's a yes. Hank Lamb? Hank Lamb, do I hear? Bob Lederer?
Yes.
Pass for now.
Did I just hear a yes from Hank Lamb?
Yes.
Okay. Michael Novick, I'll vote yes. Lawrence Reyes?
Yes.
Serene Roberts?
I object.
That's a no vote.
Yep.
Richard Izzell. Margie Wilkinson.
Yes.
Going back, Jim Brown. Oh, I'm sorry, you're right. I got your vote. Sorry. Did I? No, Jim Brown? Kim Kaufman? Bob Lederer, you had passed?
I abstain.
Richard Zell? I get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 yeses. One no and one abstain and three not voting.
Okay, so the motion passes. The agenda is amended. So is there any final discussion before we go to the vote on the entire agenda? Okay, yes.
If there are any objections to the agenda?
Yeah, right. No, that was my next question.
Okay.
So any objections to adopting the agenda as amended? Okay, hearing none, then it's adopted. So the first item is a report on the PNB motion regarding the election schedule. That's 15 minutes starting now. So Janet Coburn, you posted the actual text of what the PNB adopted, so maybe you could, for those who aren't at their computers and those on the street, you could just read it verbatim. Do you have it handy, Janet?
I could do that.
Oh, okay, sure. Go ahead.
Whereas the Pacifica Foundation Radio was unable to hold its daily elections in 2013 and 2014 due to exigent circumstances, and whereas the effort to garner the requisite two-thirds PNB email vote by November 30th to adopt the 2015 schedule for elections fell short by one vote, and whereas given that most station delegates have either exhausted or nearly exhausted their alternates list of delegates from their most recent election, and whereas a national election supervisor was hired on December 1st, 2014, moved that an election shall be held in 2015 with the following schedule, pending adjustments the NEF deems necessary. Candidate nominations open Monday, March 2nd, 2015, and remain open for 91 days. Candidate nominations close Wednesday, April 1st, 2015. The record date shall be a single day between Thursday, March 19th, and Friday, April 3rd, which will be set by the NES. Note that this is the date by which listeners must become members to be eligible to vote. The bylaws say 45 to 60 days before the ballot mail date at the NES's discretion. Ballot mail date, Monday, May 18th, 2015. That's 47 days, avoiding Sunday, May 17th. Ballot return deadline, election close date, Monday, July 6, 2015. It says see a note below, but I don't think I see a note in what I received. Ballot count and election certifications, Tuesday, July 21st, 2015.
Okay, thanks, Michael. So, does anyone...
I have a point of information.
Sure, go ahead.
Sorry, I'm not in front of a computer. What day did you read as the ballot return date, Michael?
Ballot return deadline is Monday, July 6th, and
okay,
I think
thanks.
People check for the post office, and that's not a post office holiday.
Okay, so are there any questions about that, or anything needs to be said, or can we go on to Janet's proposal? Okay, I guess if there's nothing on that, then Janet, go ahead with your motion.
Okay, so I'm going to read this motion. Whereas the PNB passed a motion on December 4th, 2014 to have delegate elections in 2015, and whereas the 2013 delegates election was postponed from the second year in the 2012 to 2014 election cycle to 2014, the third year, and that election did not take place, and whereas the new three-year election cycle is between 2015 and 2017, and the bylaws specify that delegate elections are to take place in year one and year two of that three-year cycle, and whereas the motion did not specify whether the 2015 election would be the one that did not take place in 2014, or a regular election in the first year of the 2015 to 2017 election cycle, move that the PNB Election Committee recommend to the PNB that the 2015 delegate elections be modeled after the 2003 transition election, see Pacifica Bylaws, Article 4, Section 7, substituting the language with current dates as follows. For the 2015 election only, all LSB seats are to be elected, where the three staff delegates and nine listener-sponsored delegates for each radio station highest ranked in this election shall serve for a term expiring December 2018, and the next highest ranked three staff delegates and nine listener-sponsored delegates shall serve for a term expiring in December 2016. The 2016 election of delegate elections shall proceed as usual in accordance with the remainder of the provisions of this article of these bylaws, and that any candidate elected in the top 12 rankings who would term out before December 2018 would resign their seat when they have reached their six consecutive years on the LSB, and their seat be filled by the next runner-up in the 2015 election, and that to accommodate recruiting candidates to run for twice as many seats as usual, that the candidate nomination close date specified in the schedule passed by the PNB on December 4th, 2014, be May 1st, 2015, instead of April 1st, 2015, and the other dates in the schedule be extended accordingly.
Okay.
So, can I kind of motivate it? I mean, I sort of motivated it within the whereases. Another thing that, well, first of all, we have a precedent, sort of, from the 2003 election, transition election, that could be applied to the 2015 election. There aren't going to be two elections in 2015, so it needs to be clarified what this election is going to be in 2015, and that's what this motion I am trying to address in this motion. And also it would be more cost effective to have, well, I mean, again, if we have one election, and then get back on track after 2015 to having a regular election in the second year, which would be 2016, and then continue from there with the new cycle, the first and second year. So I'm done.
Point of order?
Yes, your point of order.
Okay. So this idea was raised by someone on the governance committee, and our resolution on the governance committee, and there are some members here who are also on that committee besides myself, or at least I think maybe two or three people, and we specifically agreed to consider that option, you know, using the transition election language that we used in for the 2003 election. And I, at least, do not understand why having as a member of the, Janet, I don't know if Ms. Colvin is on the governance committee. It seems to me she is, but I, you know, there's so many.
She's not.
I can't seem to keep it straight. Okay. So that is precisely the issue that the governance committee wishes to discuss with us. And it seems to me, you know, out of order to say yes to having the meeting, the joint meeting, and then making a preemptive decision on the very issue that stimulated the call for the meeting.
Okay.
I mean, I have other dissatisfactions with the motion, but I'll argue that if we ever get to that.
Okay, well, I think your point is well taken. I think, you know, because there's been an explicit request to have a joint discussion before any recommendations are made, I don't think that we should be taking a position before that joint discussion happens. On the other hand, our committee just voted to allocate some time, so my ruling would be that we can, if people want to, we can complete the time allotted, but only for asking questions to clarify what the motion means, not to discuss the pros and cons, and certainly not to make any decision. So that's my ruling. So, does anyone have questions for Janet? I'm sorry, who was that?
Can you hear me?
Who is that?
Teresa. This is Teresa. Can you hear me?
Now I can. Go ahead.
I just have one question. Are you saying that you're going to allow these amendments or motions, but we can't make any decisions? Because I'm wondering, why would we just discuss them and not make any decisions? Can you explain your ruling on that?
Sure. As Serene and I have said, the governance committee, I think perhaps you weren't on the call when we discussed this a few minutes ago. The governance committee made a formal request to our committee to have a joint meeting to discuss this very question. Not Janet's motion, but the question of how to deal with the fact that we're now a year and a half behind in holding elections. And so we now have, you know, 2015 and 16 coming up, and what do we do about that? And so Janet has one solution. I understand there are other solutions out there. So they said, let's talk about this together. And at the top of this call, before we had quorum, we did reach agreement that we would have that joint meeting with them, as where they would come as guests to our next committee meeting. So
okay,
for that
you.
Specific purpose.
All right, thank you. Sorry to have bothered you.
That's okay. All right.
Jen, okay.
Go ahead, Jen. Well, hold on. Let me ask if someone who hasn't spoken yet wants to speak.
Michael Logan, to the stack.
Go ahead.
So I did raise this informally, but my question is regarding KPFK in regards to this, because we did not achieve quorum in 2012. We were already going to have to elect all 24 members of our board just in this delayed 2013 election, in which, under that idea of the precedence of 2003, and I think the previous election that WPFW had, where they had to elect everybody, the arrangement was already as described, but it was going to be the first nine would take the seats that would expire in 2015 from the 2012 election, and the next, or vice versa, I can't remember, whoever gets the one gets the short term expiring 2015, one will get a longer term. So I just think some thought has to be given to that, trying to reach a solution that can apply across the whole network.
Okay, so did you have a question for Janet? Michael?
Does she have any, well, the question is, how would this apply to KPFK?
Janet?
Well, I'd like to answer that, and then just, and then I was also wanted to be on the stack.
Why don't you answer the question?
Well, I mean, it's basically the same, that all seats would be elected in 2015, no matter what the station is. I don't know if I'm, if that clarifies things, but I don't see how KPFK would be any different than the other stations for that election.
Michael, does that answer it, or do you want to follow up?
No, but it's so kind of, in other words, what I'm saying is that the short term for the KPFK election would actually end in 2015, because it's people who should have been elected in 2012. So it's just, the whole thing is still a problem for KPFK, and no matter what we do, we'll just have to figure it out, is all I'm saying. I don't have a solution to offer right now.
Yeah, the 2015 election would not only take care of what happened, didn't happen for the second election in the last three-year cycle, but it also would be the election that would normally take place in 2015 that would be for those people, the same who had the term 2012 to 2015. So, if those people are reelected, then they would either serve a three-year term or a one-year term, depending on their ranking. And if they term out, then as the motion states, a runner-up would. They would resign, and the runner-up would fill the seat. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't.
All right. Are there other people with questions? All right. Well, if not, then Janet, did you have something brief to say, but not
yes.
in the way of argumentation,
yes.
just
right.
explanation?
Very brief. Yes. Well, first of all, I did not know that the Governance Committee came up with a motion about
this. There's no motion. There was just discussion.
Okay, in any case,
option.
So, I mean, that's what Serene had brought up, that the Governance Committee was dealing with this. But regardless, any meeting that would be a joint meeting, we would be an election committee meeting, and so this would be a motion from this committee that the governance committee would join in on. And I'm happy to table it until that joint meeting. Well, I don't know if I can table my own motion. But.
Well, no, I already ruled that it's not on tonight's agenda tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
That's unnecessary.
I just wanted to have an initial discussion, and we did that. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. So moving on.
This is Margie.
Yes.
I just want to clarify something that...
Sure.
Just to make sure that Janet understands that the discussion in the governance committee was about this very idea, but... we didn't come to any conclusions. The conclusion we came to was we thought it would be a smart idea to have a joint meeting with the elections committee. And so I'm on both committees, so that's... Anyway, okay?
Okay.
I just wanted to clarify that. So
okay,
we're all moving ahead with the same information.
All right. So, and we're going to come back to that in the item after the very next. So next on the agenda is a report from the interim executive director on the hire of the national election supervisor, and that's a 5-minute item. So, Margie, go ahead.
Okay. After I interviewed several candidates, asking them all the same questions. I interviewed them on two different occasions. I offered the position of the National Election Supervisor to Joy Williams. I don't think this will come as a surprise to anybody because I've said this publicly several times. But anyway, she served as the WBAI local election supervisor in the 2003-04 election. And she will begin work on January 2nd. And I think she's an outstanding candidate, and I'm very pleased to have offered her the job and have had her accept. I think that's all I have to say.
Okay, thanks, Margie. All right, any questions? Okay, hearing none, then good, we're ahead of schedule. So next is...
Hello?
I'm sorry?
Teresa here, I was on mute.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Has she, in the last, let's say, 3 years, has she given any suggestions for organizing our elections better or reducing expenditures or anything to that effect?
I didn't ask her that question, so I don't know the answer. I'm sorry. I did ask her. In response to a question that she asked me, I told her that going forward, one of the goals is of this organization is to figure out how to reduce expenses, and she was very, interested in that idea and working on that.
Okay, thank you. All right, so next is back to the topic we were just on, the request from the Governance Committee for a joint meeting. So before we reached quorum, we had reached agreement on a suggestion I had that we offer the Governance Committee 2 dates and that they would come on to our call, whatever the date that's decided, they would come on as guests, as non-voting guests, because under the bylaws it's not possible for two committees to have a joint meeting where there's voting, because that would just, cross all kinds of lines. So that was agreed, and then the purpose of 2 dates would be so they could do an internal poll and come back to us with the preference. So we were just starting to discuss our 2 dates when the 10th person arrived and we reached quorum. So now let's reopen that question. Serene had proposed Sunday, December 14th, and Saturday, December 20th, and I just looked at the calendar and noticed that Sunday the 14th is less than 7 days from today, so that wouldn't meet the notice requirements. So
also, I have a conflict. Our KPFK General Research Committee is meeting on that date.
Yeah,
okay.
I have a conflict.
All right, but it's not, we can't do it because the
into
notice
anyway.
Issue. So
yeah.
What's on the table is Saturday, December 20th, and then whatever other dates people want to put on the table. So the floor is open. Oh, and just for those who came late, the KPFT calendar is completely full until the 24th, and I don't think anyone here thinks that any of the rest of the month is going to work. I mean, someone could propose it, but I think it's pretty unlikely. So, proposals for other dates besides Saturday the 20th.
Well, as I mentioned, Wednesday the 17th is the KPFK local station board, which is at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific. If we had a meeting that was, I don't know, at 5 o'clock, in other words, 8 o'clock is about 8:30 Eastern for 2 hours. Maybe we can do it.
Okay, so the proposal is Wednesday the 17th at 5 West Coast, 8 East Coast.
Janet Kay?
Go ahead.
Well, or a second, another possibility could be Sunday, December 21st.
I can't do that date either. The 14th and the 21st are both out for me.
Okay.
I could do the 20th.
Okay. Other comments or suggestions?
My father just noted that Hank Lamson, he couldn't do any weekend dates.
Right. Well, yeah.
Can you guys hear me?
This is a discussion. Yes, go ahead, Serene.
Oh, sorry, thanks. I couldn't be heard before. I had to hang up and call back in. So the problem with 5 o'clock meetings is that some people have to work, and that's why governance meetings generally start at 5:30. There's one committee that meets at 8. There's a rather interesting history of how that date was picked, but that's for another day. So I would not want us to start a meeting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific.
Okay, so let me ask you, Serena, if the time was changed to 8:30 Eastern, would that be a date you would support?
I just think that if there are LSB meetings or other governance meetings, that we need to try to find another day. I know there are people on our committees who actually work, standard 9-to-5 jobs. So it's a matter of trying to do that, juggle a telephone meeting before getting on an in-person. At some point, you got to have a breather. I think it's too much. I don't know. I can't speak for anybody in California. Maybe nobody at any of the California stations have that issue, in which case, I'll leave it alone. It personally does not affect me. I just don't think it's reasonable.
Okay, other comments or suggestions?
Oh, well, let me ask a question. If we met on a weekend, could we meet, I was thinking, like on the 21st, I have something in the afternoon, but if we could meet in the morning Pacific time, that would probably work for me. I have a family event. We celebrate the solstice, I'm sorry. But anyway, so... But Pacific time, I could meet in the morning.
Fine. Give us specific time.
I don't care.
10 a.m. is fine.
10 a.m.
It's 1 p.m. here. We still have,
Okay, so let's see. The proposals are... Serene, I didn't hear a time for your proposal for Saturday the 20th. What time, or did you? Were you leaving that open to people's availability?
No, I think 10 a.m. Pacific is reasonable. People still get a bit of a weekend feel; they're not out of bed at 7 to go to work. But it also doesn't, keep those of us on the East Coast just sort of, marching in place in order to accommodate the left coasters.
Okay, so let me clarify where we're at. We have three ideas on the table now. We have Wednesday, December 17th, which I would amend based on Serene's very legitimate point about people who work 9-to-5 to 8:30 p.m. Then there's Saturday, December 20th at 1 p.m. These are all, using our convention, these are all Eastern times, okay? December 20th, Saturday at 1 p.m. Or December 21st, Sunday at 1 p.m. Are there other...
1 p.m. is 10 o'clock our time. My
correct.
Time. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm helpless at this. Thank you.
Sure. So are there either comments on... Does anyone want to address what Serene said about whether that's too much for the L.A. the Berkeley and L.A. folks that are sort of, getting off work, coming to a meeting, and then, in L.A., you're going to an in-person meeting at 7 p.m. your time.
Right. We have Bob, this is me, Lawrence.
Okay, go ahead.
So we have a LSV meeting on the 17th. Is that correct, Michael?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd suggest that we could have a short call or start the call early. But people are just starting early, so if we do it, we would have to, you know, take the call at the site of the meeting probably, and it would have to end by 7 our time, 9.
Well, that's going to be difficult for me because I get out at 6.
Okay.
Work.
All right. So,
but it doesn't mean I can't hook up. I can hook up and, you know, like that.
Right, but if I could jump in here, just let's remember we're reaching out to a whole other group of, I don't know how many non-duplicate members they have, but let's say 7 or 8 or 9 different people, and we want to mesh the maximum, have the best potential to mesh with their schedules.
Yeah.
So if Lawrence can't, that may be representative of a couple of other people who can't.
Bob, this is Lawrence. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
So I could probably jump on the call from work on my cell phone and just, you know, because I'm within walking distance of the LSV, so I could do that. And I'm on both committees anyway, so I have to be...
Yeah, me too.
I have to be there, so...
All right. Well, any other comments before we try to pick two out of these three dates?
Well, why don't we just offer them 3 and see?
Well, that's an option. Does anyone have any comment on that possibility?
Yeah, I hear so much about California traffic that I personally don't. But you know, you guys do it. You LA people, especially. You know, it's legendary. If you're up to, or your time allows you to do it, I'm not going to object to it. But I just think mentally, spending all day working and then on a committee call and then on our LC meetings, which we know are always wonderful, and you know, I think it's a bit much, but hey, whatever works.
Okay, any more discussion on these three dates?
Bob, this is Jim.
Yes, Jim.
I had to get away from the phone for a little bit.
Okay.
But I'm back. Now, what three dates are they again?
Okay, it's Wednesday, December 17th at 8:30. Or Saturday, December 20th at 1 p.m., or Sunday, December 21st at 1 p.m. Those are all Eastern.
Okay.
So the Wednesday would have to be a short meeting.
Right. So the proposal would be to send all three of these dates to the Governance Committee and ask them to poll their members as to which works best for, you know, with the maximum number.
Right.
So any further discussion?
I'm sorry, we should poll our own membership as well because there are a lot of people not on the call any longer or never on it.
Okay, that's a good point. Okay, anything else?
Janet, okay.
Go ahead.
Well, kind of related to what Michael just said, let's say we do schedule a date is determined, one of these three dates, and the election committee does not reach quorum at that meeting. Anyway, that's something to think about.
Oh, wow.
And something to maybe encourage people to get people on this committee to come to whichever date we decide.
I'm sorry, point of personal... She's fading in and out. I don't know what she's saying.
Yeah, Janet, do you want to restate your last sentence?
Okay. I'm just urging, because it is possible that whatever date is determined, whichever of the three dates is determined, and then we have the meeting start, and then there isn't a quorum reached at the meeting of the election committee, since it is going to be an election committee meeting. So we really would need to encourage the members of this committee to come to that meeting so that
we'd work hard on it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, thank you, Janet, for bringing up the point about not reaching quorum, because in a minute, I think we should address that tonight so that we have a plan in mind. But first, let's resolve the date question. So I'll come back to that. Any other comments on the three dates? Okay. Is there any objection to offer to doing a poll of both committees of all three dates? Okay. Hearing none, and that's what we're going to do. So now on the question of non-quorum,
Poor Janik, can I just...
What is this, a point of order? What is this?
I don't know what it is, but it has to do with a target date to get the response and to set the meeting.
Oh, okay. All right, sure.
I'm sorry. Wait a second. Point of order.
Yes.
Are we not yet out of time for this item?
No, not yet. It was a 20-minute item.
Do we really have to micromanage who sends the poll?
Yeah, I think it's...
What deadline they put? Come on.
I can set a deadline. I think that's true. We don't need to get into that on this call. I'll just set a reasonable deadline, you know, to make sure that this doesn't go on too late, so that there's proper notice time and so on. In fact, we're bound by the notice requirement, so that says it's got to be resolved by Wednesday. So that's all set. So now,
Michael, with a sec. I think the determinations you based on which of the dates is likeliest to have a quorum of this committee, and since the other people will be the only visitors anyway and don't need a quorum.
Well, I think, please correct me if I'm wrong, that everyone on this committee can attend on the 17th, and one person said they couldn't attend on the 20th or 21st. But
it's not everyone on the committee. It's everyone on the call, perhaps.
Yeah, that's part of the problem.
Okay. All right. Well, Michael, I think your point's well taken.
Yeah.
Let's just see what the poll, you know, results say. Okay? All right. So now, if there's not a quorum, I think we should have a position tonight on what to do. And my position would simply be that we don't squander the opportunity of having a good chunk of people from both committees to at least have a discussion that can't, in no way would be allowed to reach a decision, but at least to air out the issues.
Right.
Does anyone have a different approach? Okay. Then that's formally agreed, Michael, if you could note that in the minutes, that we will go forward. Now, we very, very much want to have a quorum because we would like to make decisions, but in the event we don't, we'll go forward with the discussion with the governance folks anyway, just not make any decisions. Okay.
Janet Kay, point of information?
Yes.
Would it be appropriate to forward the motion that I raised at this meeting to the governance committee?
Sure.
Will you do that?
Sure. I can actually include that in the invitation, in the poll.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So we are now on to the report from the cost-cutting working group and next steps. That's 10 minutes. And then just to refresh everyone, the only item after that is the motion on non-English language election information. So, Michael, I know you and Jane were working on some things. So, Michael, do you want to give a report?
Well, I sent out quite a number of emails. Requests for assistance based on the letter we drafted to a number of different academics, and then I also sent it to several of the companies. I heard back from, I think, two. So I thought I forwarded the list. I'm honestly a little spaced out at the moment trying to keep track of what's going on in this meeting, but... I heard back from VoteNet by phone, and then they said they were going to send me an email, but I don't think I ever received it. But they seemed skeptical about their ability to handle five different elections. And I forget who the other company was I heard back from, but I think I did.
Well, you forwarded one from the League of Women Voters of L.A.,
okay.
Where they said
That's right.
Are not able to help in any way.
Right. And a lot of the academics were not in their office, basically, that I sent it to. I can dig around and try to find the message I sent to this committee earlier with the list of groups I took responsibility for.
Okay. Well, yeah, thank you. And thank you for the work. You've really taken on quite a lot. I think you must have contacted about 8 or 9 or 10 organizations.
Yeah.
So that's really helpful. If there's any, is there anyone on this call who could we have a list now, and we still have a few organizations that no one has volunteered to contact. It's just a matter of, we have a pre-written email. It's just sending it to them and then following up if they don't answer to say, can you either give us discount or free services? Or if it's a company and they say, no, we can't possibly do that, then just get a bid from them. We just need to get moving on who is going to be, who should Pacifica choose to have do the electronic part, and also can we get help with the other aspects, perhaps, you know, some of the responsibilities of the LESs so that we could cut costs on salaries for LESs. So is there
okay,
anyone?
Yeah, this is Hank.
Hang on. Go ahead, Michael.
I did get a proposal from Simply Voting, and I forwarded that to you and Margie on
yes.
December 1st.
I got it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Just reporting that.
Thanks. Okay. Go ahead, Hank.
If you have a specific list and specific emails that you send out, just get it to me.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Janet Kay?
Yes. Go ahead.
I was just wondering, because I had contacted Steve Chesson of the California for Electoral Reform, who was sending out outreach to different organizations and people that work with that entity. Did anybody hear back from any of those or from him?
I didn't. Margie, did you?
I don't think so, but I'm not absolutely sure. Let me check, okay?
Okay. All right. Any other volunteers or any other suggestions? All right. Well, we're going to have to step this up.
I did send the entire group, I'm trying to dig it back out, I sent the group a long list of the companies, and I took responsibility for a bunch of them, and I gave the contact information of the others that was suggested, and invited people to volunteer for them. So I'll dig around in my email and find that again. Here it is.
Do you remember approximately how many of them are not yet spoken for?
Hang on a second. Let's see if I can find the later version of it.
All right. Well, while he's doing that, is there anyone else who has anything to add or ask? All right. Well, Michael, it's not essential for you to tell us the number right now. You can post it.
Yeah, I'll find it and repost it to the list.
Great. Thanks again for all that. Okay, I guess we're probably ready to move on to our next item, so we're ahead of schedule. All right, so it's actually the last item. It's the motion on non-English language election information. We have 15 minutes. No, actually, we cut that to 10. That was the amendment. Cut that to 10 minutes. Now, I'll read it in a minute, but just to refresh people, or for those who weren't at the last meeting, we voted to postpone consideration because several questions had come up that we wanted more time to think about and, allow more time for discussion. So here is the motion. And, Michael, was this your motion? I can't remember. Did you?
Yeah, I think I was urging my motion.
Okay. All right. Resolved that the Elections Committee recommend to the PNB the adoption of the following policy. That at all stations which have significant amounts of regular programming in a language or languages other than English, and a significant number of listeners for whom English is not their first or primary language, election materials, including printed and recorded statements and websites, must be translated into that or those languages. Time permitting, there should be on-air candidate forms with bilingual interpretation in order to give all candidates an equitable opportunity to participate regardless of their own language capabilities. In choosing an election supervisor at a station with programming in a language other than English 4 or more days a week, bilingual ability, including comprehension and or fluency in that language, should be considered desirable. So that's the motion. Michael, you want to re-motivate it so it's fresh in our minds?
Okay, the motivation, we had a brief discussion about it, but the motivation is basically that if the station is broadcasting a significant amount in a language other than English and therefore has a listener base in a language other than English, then we have the responsibility to make the election materials available in that language. The civic elections are material are made available in many languages. I don't think we have that responsibility in general, but if we have an audience that we have, served and cultivated with programming in a language other than English, then we should, offer the materials. And the we did have a bilingual on-air candidate forums at KPFK when I ran, which is 2010, I think. I think that should be the operating procedure, at least for a station like ours, which has a significant amount of programming in Spanish and staff whose primary language is Spanish. Listen.
Okay. All right. So the floor is open for
point
discussion.
Of information.
Go ahead.
So the motion uses the word significant twice, and I wanted to know how significant would be measured.
Michael.
At KPFK we have programming, four nights a week and one weekend evening in Spanish, and that seems pretty significant to me. I think it was a station that only has one show. Maybe that's not so significant, but I'm not familiar with the program grids of all the stations, but if the station's made a commitment to do that, then it should be a practical commitment, not just a...
Janet, can I have a follow-up on that?
Sure, go ahead.
So, I hear what you're saying, but significant to you might not be significant to somebody else and vice versa and all that. And so I think it would be good to use different... Anyway, that's just my point.
Okay, was that Margie wanting to speak?
Well, I was gonna say the same thing. I was gonna say we could talk about statistically or numerically significant or something, adjective that sort of defines it. But anyway, and then my question is how would we do this? I mean, how would it be? What is your... I'm sorry if I blanked out.
How would it be implemented?
How would it be implemented?
Mm-hmm. For the written materials, I think that we could do it with... start with a machine translation.
Right.
Which is much, much better than it used to be, and then, have that vetted by native speakers. And for the on-air... candidate forums here at KPFK, we did have someone who volunteered their time as a interpreter, a translator, and also a number of the candidates were bilingual and could.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, actually, I have a follow-up on that. There was a little discussion about this last time about the practical aspects of doing it, so I know that... I think Lawrence said that the people from the Spanish Language Programming Collective at KPFK would be willing to do the work of translating their materials. And then the question was, well, what about if any of the other four stations need this done? And so I don't think that was settled, but do you think, Michael, you could bring to them, to those folks, the question, or maybe Lawrence could, the question of whether they might, at a minimum, at least be coordinators of the effort to translate? So in other words, if they don't have time to do it, they could maybe try to work with Spanish speakers at the other, whichever other station has gone down, decide to go down this path, that they could kind of, you know, keep on top of it to make sure that the translation got done by somebody locally in that station area. I don't know if that seems too convoluted, but it usually when a project like this is decided on, if there's not somebody on top of it, it may not get completed. Right. What do you think of that idea, Michael?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think we could approach them. There are several. There's not only a single Spanish language collective here. There's, you know, I guess we have programming, like I say, every four of the five evenings a week, and then there's a webcast on the fifth evening with the Spanish language news, and then there's programming on Saturday. So there's a substantial body of, you know, programmers here, but we can approach them, see what assistance we can get, and if that's not forthcoming, I think we'll have to figure out some other ways, but I think it's a place to start.
Janet Kay?
Hold on, Janet, before you... Did you have something more, Michael? Are you done?
No, that's it.
Okay. Before I call on you, is there anyone else who hasn't spoken yet and wants to either ask something or say something? Okay, Janet, go ahead.
All right, so two things. First, I am happy to vote in favor of this provisionally, and the provisional has to do with coming up with a more objective term than significant, which is, you know, as I described before, somewhat subjective.
Okay.
The other thing is what you were just discussing about how to implement it, would that need to be an amendment to this motion? I'm done.
Okay, yeah. No, I don't think that that's necessary to implement it. I mean, motions are adopted all the time that the implementation is left till later to work out the details, and it's not necessarily known at the time exactly who's going to do it. But I think it's clear that since Michael introduced this and Lawrence is strongly supporting it, and you know they're a station that's already gone down this road, that I hear them committing to to making the implementation happen. Is that a fair statement, Michael?
Yeah, I would say I'd be willing to say if you want to define it as significant, it would be at least 7 hours a week.
Teresa for the stack.
Okay, hang on. Let me just clarify what Michael just said. So in the sentence it says that at all stations which have, and you change it to 7 hours of regular programming in a language, is that where you want to make the change?
Or at least, I don't have the motion in front of me. I'm sorry, because I was still looking for the other thing. But if we say at least 7 hours.
At least 7 hours of regular programming in a language, or at least 7 hours a week of regular programming in a language or languages other than English. Is that what you're saying, Michael?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, let me call on.
So what about the second significance?
Let me see.
Let's do one at a time.
In a second.
Go ahead, Teresa.
I was just wondering, are we saying this is... Okay. To my knowledge, then, is this correct, that KPFK is the only station that has at least 7 hours of programming in a different language? Is that correct?
You know, I'd have to check the WBI schedule. I believe we're very close to 7. I'm not sure if we're 7 or 8, but somewhere in that neighborhood.
And my second question is, are we saying that this is going, that we're going to get this done for free? Are we committing ourselves to actually paying someone to translating all of these materials?
Michael, do you want to answer that?
I don't want to add to the financial burden. I think it can be done for free. I think there's probably some printing costs that can be involved if there's materials that have to be, you know,
produced and sent, but I think the translation
and the third, and the third question is, the person that's really ultimately responsible for implementing this is the National Election Supervisor, correct?
Yeah, I think, right. It falls under her jurisdiction, but what I was trying to say earlier is that because she, or any NES, has a huge amount on their plate, that if someone from this committee would step up to really help them implement it, then, you know, kind of coordinate the implementation, then that would be, I think that's, that would be a good thing for us to offer. But yes, she would be the ultimate person responsible.
But if for some reason she said, you know, we cannot do this, we can't afford this, or my solution is that we do it this way, this is the person that ultimately we're giving the responsibility for making these decisions on how to implement.
I think that's a reasonable statement. Does anyone have a different view on that?
Well, the only thing I would say is that part of this motion is a mandate in picking the election supervisor, local election supervisor, that they, you know, should consider comprehension or fluency in the language that's being used on the station. In this case, it says 4 more days a week. That should be desirable in the local election supervisor, assuming we have one.
Okay. All right. So let's finish off the discussion about Michael's amendment to his own motion that would make it read that at all stations which have at least 7 hours a week of regular programming in a language or languages other than English, and then we'll get to the part about a significant number of listeners for whom English is not their primary first language. But is there any further discussion about that figure of at least 7 hours a week? Okay. All right. Then is there any objection to amending the motion to say that? Okay. Hearing none, then that's adopted. Now, Michael, do you have an amendment to the second phrase about a significant number of listeners for whom English is not their first or primary language? Well, let me offer at least some beginning ideas. Maybe you can build on these. My understanding, and Margie can correct me if I'm wrong, is that because of the financial crisis at Pacifica, it's been several years since Pacifica subscribed to what used to be Arbitron and is now Nielsen ratings. So I don't think, Margie, is that correct, that we don't currently subscribe?
That's right.
Right. So we don't
You know, we don't subscribe as a network, and I'm not absolutely sure about. Is there anybody? Hank, do you know if T does subscribe to Arbitron? Are you still on the call? Because their GM said something in a meeting recently that made me think that maybe they do subscribe to some service.
Were you asking me a question?
Oh, yeah, Teresa. Does KPFT subscribe to Arbitron? Do you know?
No.
Okay. Then that takes care of that. Then, none of the stations.
Okay. And just as a footnote, but a politically significant footnote, is that Arbitron for years was accused of undercounting people of color.
Yeah.
So that would have been a problem anyway. But my point is, we have no quote unquote objective data to base this question on about, like, are there, even if we put a number, even if we said, and if they have 30%, you know, non-English speakers, how would we know whether that number is true? So, go ahead, Michael.
My motion is actually, my amendment would be to strike that phrase.
Oh, the entire phrase?
Yeah.
And just leave it to the number of hours of programming, period.
Yeah, programming.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Discussion on that, on striking that whole reference to significant number of listeners whom English is not their first or primary language.
Janet Kay.
Okay, let me just ask, does anyone who hasn't spoken yet want to speak on this? Okay, go ahead, Janet.
Well, I was just wondering whether it could be tied to the population of the area, of the listening signal, as opposed to the listeners, I think we could get data about the population. And I don't know if that would make sense for this motion. Just an idea.
Well, let me call on myself, because now it's, I don't know why this didn't occur to me earlier, but actually I think it's really important to strike the phrase, because otherwise it's a restrictive clause. In other words, it says even if you have 7 hours a week, but if you're, let's say we took Janet's version, which is reasonable, but in combination with this, it may have a very harmful outcome, which is, okay, even if the census says that, you know, if our standard is 20% and the census says they have 17%, even if, though you have 7 hours a week of programming, they wouldn't be required to produce the materials. So I think that's the simplest and fairest solution, is just strike it altogether and just have a simple, you know, up or down based on 7 hours or not 7 hours. I mean, the only downside is if a station has 6 hours, and I'm sorry I'm re-raising something we just agreed to, but I'm thinking on my feet here. If a station has 6 hours, we don't want to say, okay, you're off the hook, you don't have to do anything. So that's why I appreciated why Michael used the general term significant in the first place. How about if we go back and amend that clause to say that at all stations which have significant amounts of regular programming language or language other than English, including any that have at least 7 hours or something. So in other words, it can be expansive. That, you know, a bare minimum is if you have 7 hours, there's no debating it. It's absolute under this motion. You must do it. If you have 5 or 6, it can be worked out with, you know, the local, the NES, or with Michael and Lawrence and whoever can talk to the local people and or whatever. I mean, some process can be, there's wiggle room is what I'm saying. If there's like, kind of seems to be a strong sentiment that this would reach more voters based on sort of subjective local conditions. What do people think of putting back in a more general clause?
I'm completely confused. I apologize.
Oh, that's okay. I don't think I explained it well.
I think the option would be there if the station, you know, wants to pursue it. I think that if you're going to mandate it, it has to be based on something, as people said, a little more objective. The reason I don't think it should be the population percentage in the area is because this is only about the fact that the station is serving the particular listeners, and we have an obligation to, you know, to them. In the best of all possible words, we would have the same civic obligation that the civic elections do. But I don't think we're dealing with that. So there are many significant language minorities in the Los Angeles area, and I don't think we're going to do this in Korean or
right.
Tagalog,
because we don't have the programming.
Yeah.
To attract the voters that would participate in the election.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So so maybe I'll just drop my idea. Maybe we'll keep it simple. So it's just leave it what we adopted a few minutes ago, that at all stations which have at least 7 hours a week of regular programming in a language or languages other than English, election materials must be translated into that or those languages. Okay. Any further comment before we vote? We're actually at time, so we need to vote unless someone... Go ahead.
No, that's fine. Let's vote. I just want to share something very brief before we adjourn.
On this subject?
No.
Hang on. Let's finish
this. On
another
subject.
Any other final call for comment before we... really, I'm going to ask, is there any objection? So is there anyone who wants to either object or have another change you want to make? Okay. So is there any objection to adopting the motion as amended? Okay, hearing none, the motion's adopted, and it will be forwarded to the PNB for consideration. Thank you.
Yay,
Michael. Thank
congratulations.
You, yeah.
Wonderful.
Okay. All right, go ahead, Margie.
Some time ago, I promised to get statistics on percentages of members on email at each station, and I finally
accomplish that. You can't believe how many phone calls it took. But anyway, I won't complain. And I just sent it all to you all.
Oh, terrific.
And it's very interesting. One thing I will note is that I'm in the process of cleaning up the national office donor information list, and because we're going to do a mailing, we're going to send out an end of the year mailing by the around the end of this week. And the fact of the matter is that the national office has no email addresses, although it has about 21,000 people on a donor database. So I don't know.
Can I suggest that you request them in the mailing?
Oh, maybe we could put it on the return card.
Yeah,
that's a good idea. Thank you, Michael. I will do that. Thank you very much.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you for that, Margie. And with that, we're ready to adjourn.
Very
so,
good.
Thank you, everyone, and we'll see you on whichever date the poll comes up with.
Good. Okay.
Okay. Good night.
Great.
Night.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Bye. Good night.
Good night. Good night, all.